please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these 3 stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Love to hear from you today. What is Christian persecution? Have you experienced it? Do you recognize it? Should we be concerned about it? Is it something that is on the rise, or is it being tamped down? What can we expect for the future of America in these last of the last days, according to the eschatological prophetic text in the book of Matthew and Luke, Mark, etc., etc.? What can we expect? Should we expect it to get better or worse? Or as the little boy says, it's not getting better and better, it's getting badder and badder. I believe that's the case based on the authority of the Scripture. We're talking about today Christian persecution. Are we like the frogs and the cattle being boiled and not paying attention to it? Ladies and gentlemen, when we're talking about Christian persecution, what are some of the examples of that? How do we recognize Christian persecution? For example, today Americans have experienced the intensified, what I call intensified persecution. Most of the persecution is from our city governments, state government, and federal government, national government, ladies and gentlemen. So just what are some of the ways, some of the signs, some of the indicators of Christian persecution, the persecution of conservatives and Christians in America today? Number one, I think we see that in our school system today. It's filled with persecution of believers. For example, in today's public school system, you can't have a Bible in the classroom. In today's public school system, the teacher cannot pray on school grounds. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline, appalling article. Let me read you the headline in about 2-3 very brief paragraphs. Tennessee school stops the principal from praying. The principal at Broadview Elementary School in Winchester, Tennessee, came under fire after he concluded a meeting with parents and teachers and students by mentioning God's name. "We pray to you, Father in heaven, for your wonderful blessings, and we ask those things in God's name. Amen," was the principal's closing part in his prayer. Someone in the meeting was secret, this article reads, someone in the meeting secretly taped the prayer and sent a copy to the Freedom From Religion Foundation, an anti-Christian group of atheists based in Wisconsin. The atheists allege that federal law bans any government from offering official, delivering official prayer. They argued the district should be neutral with regards to religion. The school district conducted an investigation and ordered the principal to no longer offer any prayer at school. End quote. This article reads further. Atheists are celebrating this decision, and they're also calling on their minions to hunt down other workers who might be engaged in Christian activity such as praying. School officials who wish to pray can do so on their own time. Schools exist to educate, not to indoctrinate in religion. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, schools are to educate, not to indoctrinate. Right now, the United States of America's kids in public school system are the lowest it's ever been in the history of America's educational system. We're lower than many nations like China and Japan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in the educational process. Why is that so? Because we are brainwashing and indoctrinating our kids in the public school. We're making little Marxists out of them. We're brainwashing them to believe that the LGBTQI plus agenda is all right. It is absolutely perverting the minds and the hearts of our kids in the public school, and also with what's called the CRT, the critical race theory, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We're indoctrinating and brainwashing our kids in the public school system that murder by way of abortion is okay, and you can call it women's health care. Ladies and gentlemen, and this article reads where there's the mindset from the school system and the authorities therein that school officials who wish to pray can do it on their own time and on dime. It says schools exist to educate, not to indoctrinate in religion. Ladies and gentlemen, I can recall the day in the public school system, it's less than 100 years ago in my life, where our teacher had the authority to stand and give scripture memory verses, give us the opportunity to stand and repeat scriptures that we had memorized, and to pray and to pledge to the flag. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that if we go back to the Bible, go back to the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God in our public school system, we'd have fewer people in prisons today. I believe the little 14-year-old thug that just killed four people and injured nine in one of the schools, I believe that we would find, that's in North Georgia, I believe we'd find if they had been the opportunity to have him introduced to the Bible in the public school system, if not in the home, it would have changed the trajectory and the direction that his life has taken and shall take. Ladies and gentlemen, you may or may not be aware of this, but in the state of Florida, there's a Florida law, legislation was passed, signed into law, 2018, if I'm not mistaken, that requires the motto, In God We Trust. That's the motto on our currency. That's the motto for the state of Florida on the Florida seal. For that motto to be inculcated in every school in the state of Florida. Do you realize, I don't know of any school in Florida that's put the signs up in the buildings, In God We Trust. I'm thankful to see some of the states in our nation that now has passed legislation signed into law that requires the Ten Commandments to be posted on the walls in every one of the classrooms. I am thankful for that. In the state of Florida, legislation went into effect May of this year that allows Christian counselors, Christian chaplains to go into the public schools and teach Bible. And I don't know of any of the our schools here in Duval County or other parts of the state where people, Christians, have volunteered to go in and do that. I'm talking about the fact, ladies and gentlemen, where we're witnessing Christian persecution and prosecution as a result of our stand on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. Love to have you join in the dialogue and discussion. Do you believe that we are faced with Christian persecution? Can you identify it? Have you experienced it? What are your thoughts on it? Do you ever have any teaching from the pulpit in the church that you're in where it talks about that and how we need to stand as Christians and be salt and light? Our school system is filled, ladies and gentlemen, with persecution of the believers. Schools persecute Christian teachers and Christian leaders in the schools if they pray, if they have their Bible. So, ladies and gentlemen, if the government creates a law, if the government provides promulgates an ordinance that says that we cannot pray publicly in the public school or in front of an abortion clinic, as some are now promulgating, Christians are required to bow. Christians are required to submit to that ungodly, unholy, anti-God law. Remember again, our Christians like frogs in the kettle with the water getting hotter and hotter, and we do not pay any attention to it. We do not see it. We cannot fathom it. I believe that's what is taking place today. I believe I have Derby on the line. Derby, go over the question or comment, please.
Question. If the legislature passed a law to have In God We Trust posted in the schools, why is that law not being enforced? Who is the person in charge to enforce the law?
I believe there needs to be a hue and cry. This is my position. A hue and cry from the Christians in the state of Florida, calling on the one that's the Commissioner of Education in Tallahassee, calling on his office, you probably couldn't get him on the phone, talk with his administrative assistant, and ask the question, why aren't you enforcing the law, that the legislation Kimberly Daniels had it introduced? It was debated on the floor of the House and Senate. It was passed, signed into law by the governor. Why isn't it being adhered to? It's a good question. It goes back to Derby so often. Christians will not take a stand. Somehow, some way, they don't want to make waves, do not want to stand for truth.
So what is the function of the state attorney or the attorney general in Florida? Don't they have any say-so on this?
They do, but it would probably have to go through the secretary of the Commissioner of Education first, Manny Diaz, former senator, conservative senator here in the state of Florida, appointed by our present governor to be the Commissioner of Education. Manny Diaz's office, in my opinion, is the office that needs to have that question asked, because it's through his office that he would then, I believe, go through the attorney general's office to have that promulgated and carried out as the law requires it to be.
So the Department of Education and the Attorney General, both of them should get off the ball and, get on the ball and act. They don't act.
Absolutely. Well, you recall, perhaps, I don't know if you do or not, but when Dr. Green was still the superintendent of schools here in Duval County, our state passed legislation that says you cannot teach the LGBTQI+ and the CRT in the public classrooms. Dr. Green was arrogant enough, she said, we're going to continue to do it. Manny Diaz, the Commissioner of Education, sent a demand letter to her and to the school board in Duval County, demanding that they cease and desist, continue to teach the LGBTQI+ agenda, the CRT. So what did Dr. Green do? She said, well, we will just go ahead and have our own curriculum written. Who did she engage to start writing the curriculum? The LGBTQ agenda people. It was the mindset that we're not going to listen to what the law says. We're going to do our own thing. And that is rampant today across America. We find that here in the city. We find that in our state. We find that with the school boards across America, that we're going to ignore the law. We're going to teach what we want to teach. And you little Christian people out there, you're going to have to like it or lump it. You're going to have to embrace it or just get out of the school system. That's the mindset. And we find that permeating society.
That only means that Manny Diaz is impotent because he sends the letter, cease and desist, and nothing happens. Nobody gets punished. Nobody gets thrown in jail. Nobody gets fined. So he's wasting our tax dollars by not enforcing the law. So I don't care if he's conservative of Cuban background, but he's not doing his job.
I would agree with that. By the way, it wasn't just with Dr. Green that the cease and desist letter was sent to. If I'm not mistaken, it was either 10 or 11 school board superintendents out of the total state, and most of them complied, but Dr. Green was one that basically, one out of maybe two or three others, that refused to comply. But as a result of that, I'm thankful that she's out of the office today. In fact, when that took place, I, on the broadcast, on the air publicly, asked that she be fired or that she resign, because we need to have somebody that's going to teach the kids and be responsible for academics and not for the brainwashing of our kids with the LGBTQI+ pornography and the agenda therein. So, yes, I'm in agreement with you. I believe Commissioner Diaz needs to be put on notice. He may or may not even be aware that the schools are not doing that. That's because, listen, he was a senator, dumped into the position, appointed to serve as Commissioner of Education. I don't know how much he knows about that office. I'm sure he's learned several things in the past couple of years since he's been in. It's been about 2 years now. But he needs to be notified of it and asked, are you aware of it? Are you familiar with that? What are you going to do to force the schools to comply with the law? So I believe it's necessary for Christians to wake up and stand up and not just be lulled into believing that somehow, some way, we need to just sit down. For example, Derby, you may or may not be familiar with the fact that legislation was passed, signed into law, went into effect May of this year, that allows the schools to invite chaplains or Christians, pastors, Christian businessmen to come in and teach Bible in the public school system in the state of Florida. Have you heard of anybody stepping up to the plate and say, here am I, send me, I'll be willing to go there and teach Bible? Now, there's been some arguments about that. Well, you know, somebody might be recruiting them for their denomination. No. If they're just teaching Bible, not denominational dogma, teaching the Bible, and it's to be taught, quote, as a history fact, teaching the Bible, I'm for it. I'd rather see that take place and risk some promulgation of denominational dogma than to see the kids go through the public school being indoctrinated and brainwashed to be little useful idiots for the socialist Marxist agenda than to see them being taught the Bible. I'd rather see that done. So I'm for it, and yet we're ignoring that. In fact, I'm for the state of Florida introducing legislation and passing it this legislative term that's coming up of 2025. I am for them passing legislation that will require the Ten Commandments in all the public schools in the state of Florida. I am for anything that will get us back on track with honoring God and stop the Christian persecution.
Makes sense to me.
Debbie, we need to keep looking up, keep praying, and just as you're talking now, I'm praying that people get on the telephone and call Manny Diaz's office, the Commissioner of Education, and see what he can do to get that promulgated. If no other place here in Duval County to see that taking place and to see the school board, the new school board superintendent probably doesn't even know that that's the law in the state of Florida. So keep praying, keep
but
looking
But they
up.
Should.
That's right, they should.
But
absolutely.
He should not. Dr. Vernier should know. He's got a job. He better be aware of his responsibility, his duties, and do it right.
Right. That'd be another good approach, by the way. Derby is calling the superintendent of schools office asking, are you familiar with that law? Has it been promulgated? Has it been instituted? Is it being carried out here in Duval County? And find out what they say. Derby,
okay.
Thank you so much for your call. God bless you and have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe is vital and that should be understood and recognized by each of us today. Christian persecution. Are we like the frogs in the kettle being boiled to death and do not even watch it or recognize it? Here's an article. The president of a nonprofit Christian persecution watchdog that monitors hostility to the faith and freedom abroad warned that too few Christians in America and the West seem to be aware of such trends as manifesting here at home in America. Too many people are not aware politically that they're being used of the thinking of how things were, that they can't figure out where things are bubbling now and coming from, not realizing that we're being cooked to death as Christians. This article goes further. Stacey Barber's case in Texas, for example. Barber is a school teacher who sued the Cathy Independent School District near Houston in March after her principal allegedly reprimanded her last September for praying with two other teachers at the school flagpole as they were carrying out the program See You at the Polls, an annual international event. Here's another portion here. The administrator reported told her that the teachers were not allowed to pray with students where students could see them and be influenced to join them. Listen, not only you can't pray on school campus, you cannot pray and be seen by students on the school campus according to what is taking place. The teachers were told they could not pray in any location where students would be present, even if this praying occurred before school day began, according to the lawsuit. Barber had previously been barred from starting a on-campus chapter of Students for Christ, and the school board instituted a policy mandating that employees will neither advance nor inhibit the religious programs. Further in the article, she explained that the dictators and despots will promise religious liberty out of one side of their mouths while at the same time effectively mandating that religious citizens keep their opinions to themselves and out of the public square. Yes, the mindset, ladies and gentlemen, is if you're Christian, it's okay. Perform your Christian duties, carry out your Christian speech inside the church walls and certainly not outside publicly where others can hear it or see it. We are witnessing the promulgation of Christian persecution and prosecution in America. Look at another headline, terrifying development. The new U.S. Army policy spells trouble for every Christian. Dateline August 18, 2024. A policy revision adopted recently by the U.S. Army could spell trouble for soldiers who believe and follow the Holy Bible. The Army issued two new directives in June regarding the handling and reporting of protest, extremist, and criminal gang activities by soldiers. That's where they isolated. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin claimed that there is a major issue with Christian extremism in the military. Christian extremism. Let me just pause for a moment. They're not talking about extremism of those following the LGBTQ agenda. They're not talking about extremism for those that are having their bodies butchered and paid for by taxpayers because they're in military where they can have transgender surgeries at about a half, quarter to a half $1 million per soldier. They're not talking about that. That's certainly not extremism. But Christian extremism in the military is very dangerous, according to Lloyd Austin. In fact, the new policy makes it appear that if you disagree with the views of Austin and the Biden administration, you are a Christian extremist. The directive encompasses an extremely broad range of activities. If I were still in the Air Force, this writer said, and tithed to my local church, which goes out of my paycheck, it would be protest. A transgender story hour would be at my church, fit for the Army's definition of an extremist group. In other words, let me interpret that. If you're in the U.S. military, the Army, and you tithe your money, and it's coming out of your paycheck, or if they discover that you're tithing your money, you're a Christian extremist. If you happen to side with pro-life rather than pro-abortion, you're a Christian extremist. If you on Facebook where you're approving any Facebook post that talks about morals and ethics and values, then you are an extremist, and under the Lloyd Austin's regulation now, you can be put out of the Army. This article goes further. These are now things every single Christian military member that is doctrinally aligned with the traditional biblical views of life, marriage, and gender must consider. They're saying in these new directives, extremists for disavowing abortion, extremists for same-sex marriage, extremists if you talk anything about morals and ethics and values, you are now a Christian extremist and you can't be in the Army. Is that persecution or not? Am I missing a point someplace? Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, today the rules, the regulations, the laws like Title IX, U.S. Educational Code, that allows boys, it's been changed by the Biden-Harris administration, or should I say the Harris-Biden administration. Biden's doing nothing. He's napping most of the day. He doesn't know what day it is most of the time. I'm not making fun of him because of that. He can't help it. But ladies and gentlemen, Kamala Harris and the cabal that surrounds her are now running the United States of America. Yet she wants to be elected as president and basically trying to disallow any recognition of her responsibility of the about 20 million illegal invaders. Talking about now how the Bidenomics worked, and yet it's about to bankrupt the nation. Ladies and gentlemen, if Kamala Harris is voted in office November the 5th, about 55 plus days from now, ladies and gentlemen, we have lost America, and anything that would be called the Bill of Rights, especially our religious liberties and freedom of speech and right to keep and bear arms, would all be absolutely history rather than being reality. I'm looking at a headline. Persecution against the U.S. Christians on the rise. Listen to this article. Christians across our nation are experiencing increasing hardships, targeting, and persecution because of the stand they take for biblical principles. In Oregon, for example, a small bakery is forced to shut down because their biblical beliefs did not allow them to make a cake for a lesbian couple. In Indiana, a small town pizzeria owned by a Christian family closed its doors after receiving death threats, firebombing threats, after the owner said in a television interview that he would not want to cater a gay wedding because it would conflict with his biblical faith. In New Mexico, the Supreme Court ruled that a photographer could not refuse to shoot pictures for a gay ceremony. In Washington State, a florist was sued for discrimination by the government because she would not in good conscience create a custom arrangement for a same-sex marriage ceremony. Another one. This article says, I believe we're going to see persecution in this country, Samaritan's Purse President Franklin Graham said. We've already seen many laws that have been passed that restrict our Christian freedoms. I believe it's going to get worse, Franklin Graham said. We do have a problem in this country, and we're losing our religious freedom. We're losing it a little bit every day, end quote. This is the reason, ladies and gentlemen, I say that we're like the frog in the kettle in the boiling water. most Christians today, if you can get up, go to work, bring a paycheck home on Friday, put your kids in the yellow school bus, and they bring them back to you 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and you still have a job, you can still put food on the table, you can still put clothing on the child's back, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Most Christians pay no attention to what's happening with our liberties being denigrated and destroyed in America today, circumvented by rules and regulations, especially today with the Harris-Biden administration that wants to destroy anything that's called freedom of speech and freedom of religion, anything that will be coming against the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. We need to sit up and take notice and say no. That telephone is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. That we're talking about today, Christian persecution. Are we like frogs in a kettle with the burner on and the heat turning up a little more each and every day? Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it is. I believe that's where we stand today. I believe that's what is taking place today. Ladies and gentlemen, recently, Bible study and worship was forbidden. Hear me, forbidden in an elderly retirement center. Why? Because the property is funded by federal dollars. Listen to this article. A series of attacks on Christians. Apartment complex bans using the word Bible. Now, hear me. You say, well, I live in an apartment complex. They don't ban my Bible. Just wait. When will it come to your door? Other doors in America. Listen. Managers of a senior apartment complex decided to ban the word Bible in their community room announcements, which covers a wide range of topics and interests for all of its residents. The ACLJ has announced it has sent a demand letter to the complex in North Carolina over a decision the managers to violate the religious liberties of its residents. This is yet another in a series of attacks on Christian residents in senior apartment complexes. We continue to defend the rights of Christian residents to live out their faith free of censorship, according to the organization's structure. In this case, officials banned our client from advertising his Bible study because the advertisement contained the word Bible, which is not legal in that community. Our client leads a weekly Bible study with fellow residents in one of the complex's small conference rooms. Before June, our client was able to advertise his Bible study with no restrictions. Without notice or any indication the advertisement violated any sort of the policy, the complex removed his advertisement and replaced it with spiritual services. So the Bible is banned, the name Bible. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that it's been edifying today and encouraging and yet challenging. Thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. The Florida Georgia Truth Network, on the air in Mandarin at 91.7. We at WTRJ The Truth are happy to tell you about our new shout-out feature on the Truth smartphone app. Now you can encourage others on the air.